Hello, listener. It's Tom St. John from The Manufacturer. You're listening to an episode of The Manufacturer Archives. Archives is a podcast where we put interviews out in full. You may have already heard or watched bits of them from the main podcast or from one of our videos. You also may have read part of them on the Manufacturer website or in the Manufacturer magazine. Some people want to hear these in full, so for our most interesting interviews, we're more than happy to oblige. So sit back and enjoy. This episode features Joe Gerstle from GE Vernova. He's the Senior Director of Product Management for Prophecy Smart Factory. Prophecy being the brand name of the GE software, Smart Factory pertains mainly to manufacturing execution system. Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself to start with and how you've ended up at the helm of GE Vernova's Smart Factory Solutions strategy?
It's been a long time. So I've been in this industry for 30 years, I think. I started out in paper industry and met some guys that were starting a small company. I became the sixth employee of that company, and that was called Mountain Systems back in the day. So we grew that company. We started out, I was a developer to start with, but I quickly became pre-sales and support and services, and I was even the HR guy. So I was hiring, firing people, and we had the best benefits that we could offer out there, so because I set it up. But the company grew. We had our elevator moment when we one of our head of sales, our VP of sales, met an executive from Procter & Gamble in an elevator, literally, and had an elevator pitch. And that's how we got into Procter & Gamble. So we grew the company from there to several million dollars and then sold it to GE. Back then, GE Intelligent Platforms, I believe it was called back then. So, or maybe GE Fanuc, one of the two. But so that's where we ended up. So worked in a lot of different areas. I have been in manufacturing all this time. I did step out for a little bit, went to Microsoft for a couple of years, and then had a call to come back. And so I came back to GE, and I just absolutely love what I do. I have a great time learning about new manufacturers, learning what they do, visiting plants, understanding, you know, all the problems and solutions that we can bring to them to solve this problem. So it's fun. I'm kind of a geek that way.
And just give us a sense of your company's kind of position within the market and a sense of GE Vernova's place in the landscape. How long have MES and related solutions been part of GE's offering?
Yeah, great question. We are a leading SCADA and historian vendor. SCADA has been in our backyard for a long, long time. Back in the Inolution days, and GE Fanuc offered a SCADA as well. Then we went into the historian business. Even back when you were Mountain Systems, we came up with a historian. And that is actually a really great historian for value in terms of even for smaller implementations and then enterprise level, it's really fantastic. Back to MES. The MES market's pretty fragmented, right? There's a lot of vendors in the market. They often specialize. We started specializing in paper, but we quickly expanded to food and beverage and CPG. So we've done a lot of movement into that area, and that's a big chunk of our business, I'll say. We are an excellent MES vendor, and that really comes from the analysts. So analysts like Gartner have rated us in their leader quadrant for 2 years in a row now. And that's not something that folks should take lightly. That's actually a lot of work. We don't pay for that. That comes with a lot of effort and investment into the product to get up in that quadrant. And it's, you know, the interesting thing is our customers agree with them. They have a peer insights group on Gartner, and we're ranked quite highly on that group. So the market for food and beverage is still growing. There's still plenty of room there. And we've decided to move into discrete a little bit. We had a smaller discrete MES that we were doing okay with, but we decided that we were going to invest everything and discovered kind of an underserved market that we call the mixed mode market, where you have a little bit of process and you have a little bit of discrete or some of more the other, but you have a mixture of the two. And we found that there were a lot of companies out there that actually needed that. They had, even in the same plant, they might have some of that, but certainly many have across the plants, right? So we have one vendor that makes hoses and other aviation type, aerospace type connectors and things like that, plus a bunch of other things. Well, the hoses start out as just that, a hose. Very interesting process, actually. The machine that does it looks like a monster from a alien movie. But the hoses are then made big spools of hoses. That's more of a process. And then they get moved to another location, and ends are attached to them. So they're then used in hydraulics, so for cranes that, you know, the hydraulic fluid runs through it. And so that's really the first part is a process. The second part is discrete. So they love it because they can see a genealogy all the way from the end hose, that the end connector that they made, all the way back to the original rubber and so forth that they put into the hose.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And then with our discrete market, we actually partnered with GE Aerospace to build that out, our sister company. And it's been a fantastic journey. The beauty of working with GE Aerospace is they have a very old MES system written by literally two brothers that are no longer with the company. They're retired. And they didn't want to be in that situation again. So they wanted an out-of-the-box solution, but they needed some specialties. So they came to us, we partnered together, and we've built a discrete offering that works fantastic in aerospace and defense, but it's generic enough to work in any discrete environment. So that's a really exciting part of our discrete story and our mixed mode manufacturing story.
Fantastic. And could you tell us a bit about where the solution started out and how they've evolved? What are the customer Sure. business drivers that are behind your functional development roadmap?
So, you know, there's going to be the same old stuff, right, that we hear all the time, the siloed data, the lack of visibility to the data, right, capturing all this data and much of it goes unused. A lot of that, but one that's not necessarily newer but has become much more of a problem is the labor shortage, especially since COVID. Mm. We've seen a lot of folks that just don't return to work. In fact, Pew Research did a study after COVID, and they found that of people over 55 in North America, over half are now retired. Just slightly, but over half are now retired, which is a big, big number. And then the people that are coming in, the newer folks, the younger folks, well, you know, frankly, they expect their 9 to 5 to be just like their 5 to 9. They want the new technology. They know how to use a phone. They know how to use a tablet. They're very experienced with all of that, and they need that capability at their work too. And you'd be surprised how many people don't stick around because it's one more checkbox of why I don't want to work here is it's an archaic system, right? So we handle that and we take care of that with our new web-based UX. It's actually interesting. There's this statistic that I read about 2 months ago that 53% of Gen Zers would like to be social influencers. So that tells you something right there. I mean, I wanted to be, you know, a football player, but that didn't work out. But the point is, it's just a completely different generation, right? They expect different things. They expect much more responsiveness, much more high tech. And then, you know, I think over that has actually come into the IT department as well. So that's where the SaaS concept is really starting to take off too, I'm seeing, because people want to lower that IT cost because they can't find people. It's not just the cost. It's the fact that they can't find good people, even at the high prices and high wages that they're willing to pay. So another big factor in what I'm seeing in the market.
Mm. We hear, you know, that problem all the time with UK
the
manufacturers.
Okay.
Yeah, and attracting skills, you know, getting young people in. I think there is a perception. I wonder if it exists as well in your neck of the woods, where there's a perception that manufacturing and engineering is, you used the word archaic there. Do you get that as well, would you say, in the US? Because I think there is still that perception that factory floors are dirty and unsafe and monotonous, sort of dead end places to end up. And then, you know, we, much like yourself, we visit manufacturers a lot and realize that's not the case.
Right.
But nobody knows that unless they actually go inside to a facility.
Right. Yeah, I like to say, just folks that of that era, the Gen Zers and the millennials, they expect, again, that high tech. But, you know, they think manufacturing is just not sexy, right? Okay, it's not. But is it a safe place to work? Is it a great place to have a career? Absolutely, and especially when you start to get into some of these plants that we see, where they're highly automated. Manufacturers take much better care of their workers than they did even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Offer a lot more benefits. Offer a lot more things that they can do at the office or on the shop floor. So yeah, I'm definitely seeing that in the States too. It's really hard to find labor. It's really hard to keep it too.
Yeah.
Right. Find it and actually have them stay is a challenging part.
Obviously technology is evolving at an incredible rate.
Yeah.
In terms of the evolution of technology, how has that driven its own influence in the product, would you say?
In terms of technology evolution in software, I can mention that, of course, that's probably where I'll focus, but in terms of software, what folks are moving to is and desiring is a cloud native software solution. So one of the things that I'm really proud of that we recently released is our software as a service offering called Prophecy Smart Factory. We offer two flavors. One is just OE alone, that is kind of a starter, and then full MES. So what's happened in terms of technology has made it much, much more viable to have such a system in the market. For instance, right, 7 years ago, a manufacturer would say to me, there's no way I'm putting my manufacturing data in the cloud. It's not going to happen. And part of it was they didn't want to expose it, security reasons. But another part was the backhoe incident, right, where somebody digs up their fiber in the back of the plant and cuts them off. Very, very important that they keep running. And of course, that would not allow them to do that. Well, now with 5G, that's changed, right? You can have dedicated connection fiber. You can have some 5G as backup, or some are even going full 5G in the whole plant, even inside the actual manufacturing facility. Mm-hmm. So that's made a big game changer. So with that confidence you have in the connection to your internet, SaaS has become viable. In fact, last year, I think it was around 60% of our RFPs were SaaS. They actually requested it. A couple of them were, if you don't have SaaS, don't bother responding to this RFP. So it's really changed the game. And I think because we're a leader in that area, it's made us quite popular with many customers and prospects that are looking to move that off of on-prem and divorce themselves from having to take care of that IT monster that sometimes gets created.
How do you balance customers' specific interests, which may limit their view, with being a good partner that tries to solve the build or show me what I don't know, I need to know about dynamic?
Right. So everybody thinks they're a snowflake, right? And initially I would say, oh, come on, we all do the same thing in manufacturing. Years ago I would have said that, but I found that there are patterns in manufacturing that really stick out and really end up being similar across different manufacturers, especially in the same industry, but even across industries. So things like efficiency, it's very similar between food and beverage companies, very similar type of thing they're trying to do. Things like genealogy, things like production tracking, it's all very similar, but then there are little nuances within each one, and that's where the value of a partner like ourselves comes into play, because you can configure and personalize that implementation for what you need it to do and take care of some of those things that are outside the pattern, if you will, of how it normally works, right? So very very powerful way to go forward and to let people, again, personalize what they need to do in their system and really gives them a competitive advantage, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to run exactly what's in the box. You can take what's in the box and use it to make it more your own as you move forward and adopt the solution.
Yeah, I know, it's interesting. From a market view, are there particular regions or industry sectors that are getting further and getting there faster with their transformation efforts, would you say?
Right. So I wouldn't peg any certain industry, perhaps, or any region, although I will say that North America and Europe are ahead of the game in terms of at least the SaaS perspective.
Yeah.
But what I have been seeing lately is very interesting. The latest kind of trend we're seeing, especially last year, we had a really good year with our scheduling offering. What customers are starting to realize is that kind of the first step to efficiency is making your planners more efficient and being able to plan your runs more efficiently. Then putting on top of that your OE solutions and so forth multiplies that dramatically. But starting with something as simple as scheduling and then moving into efficiency is a trend I've started to see last year. We had a really, really good year with scheduling. And then another thing that I'm seeing out there, not really industry specific again, I would say that it's a lot of leaders, digital transformation leaders, that are really driving forward with Industry 4.0 are looking at things like a namespace, a unified namespace, and the ability to see all their assets in one place, regardless of the software that they're in, right? And kind of unify that look of their enterprise. And even add in software that's not necessarily from that vendor. Like, we're promoting and bringing forth a unified namespace, which will, of course, use all of our products. But it also will allow you to add other products to the mix. Add your ERP. It has assets in it as well. Add your CMMS. It has assets in it too. QMS. All those other systems can be put in a single unified namespace, and now you can see them all together. The other thing you can start to do is use object types, right? So you can configure once and apply it to many pieces of equipment that are similar or the same.
And what about those that are a little bit further back? Yeah. What sort of lessons can they take?
Right. Well, when you're on the bleeding edge, there are some challenges. The roads are unpaved, you know, so expect some sharp turns. Expect some failure. I mean, it's going to happen, but fail fast. That's one thing that I've learned over the recent, and it's a GE. It really comes from my GE background. Fail fast is important. Try something out. Don't be afraid to move in, drive it. And if it doesn't work, drop it. Move on to the next thing and try to learn your lessons and take it to the next opportunity and go forward from there. So I think that's a really good lesson to learn in this kind of bleeding edge area.
Yeah.
So our customers have seen that. And I think a lot of what I would say to them is be patient as well. So when I say fail fast, at the same time, don't give up, right? Plunge forward, try it out, try as hard as you can. And then if it doesn't work, just have some patience, try the next thing and move on.
We often hear, you know, IT is challenging for many firms, whether enterprise or plant level. You've got customers that have been working with your smart factory solutions for over a decade.
Right.
What do they do in organizing their own team or rallying expertise from GE and partners that makes them successful?
From our perspective, we build partnerships. We're not a vendor, we're a partner with the customers that we work with. And that's really important, and it changes the game. So today we were at a customer, in fact, that's why I'm over here in the UK, visiting a customer, talking about the kind of things that we do with our professional services and how embedded that we become and the partnerships that we build in their business, right? The teams that we generate, that we set up, include people not only from us as a vendor, but again, from the customer themselves, right, are embedded directly into the team. So that's really important. The other thing that we do with our enterprise customers, we have something called customer success managers. So we want you to be successful. Again, we're not just a vendor. We want you to take the maximum value out of this. And those customer success managers are there to help you do that. Going back to my Snowflake comment and those patterns, there are patterns, and the customer success manager knows about the patterns, and the customer doesn't, right? They're in their industry. They're focused, heads down, working on what they want to get done. And with the patterns that we see, that we know about, those customers, those CSMs, can bring those forward, and we call them outcome maps, outcome mapping sessions, where we'll say, what is the outcome you want to achieve? Well, it turns out that a lot of people want to achieve the same outcomes. So we have these patterns set up, and we're ready to go and help them, guide them through solving those problems and those issues. One thing that I can say is that's really successful because the customer themselves starts to take ownership, right? Yes, we brought the outcomes to them, but we let them tell us how those outcomes are affecting them and how that in their business specifically, how they map out and how we can achieve those outcomes that they want to achieve.
Quick fire round. Top three things people should think about when they hear the words GE Vernova and Smart Factory.
Yeah. So one thing I want to point out, and for sure the first thing I want to say is that we are out of the box. So you're going to get a lot of vendors out there that are going to tell you, yeah, we have an MES, and what they really mean is they have a toolbox or a, you know, a box of Legos that they show up with and build it for you. I like to say we have about 70% of what you need out of the box, and it's not just it's not something you have to build; it's something you configure. Now, again, the snowflake concept. Everybody has a little something that's different, and we let you extend that because we have a no-code environment. So you can actually extend into extend your capabilities, extend the capabilities and grow on top of what's already there, and actually even embed screens right inside the out of the box screens, right? So it's very extensible. Mm-hmm. Let me just give you an example. So I think in this terms. We had a customer, we had a systems integrator that wanted to address a certain market space, as the medical device space. They didn't have a lot of experience with our software, but they very good at MES and they knew what they wanted to do. One of the leaders of the platform did have a little experience because he came from Procter & Gamble and he's now a system integrator. But he didn't have experience in the areas that you'd need for med devices, which is our more discrete side of our business. Mm. One of our solution architects from pre-sales got with them, and in an hour and a half, they had materials, not all of them, of course, but about a dozen materials set up, some BOMs ready to go. They were able to add all the equipment. They were able to build the routes. They were able to have the operator screens up and ready out of the box in an hour and a half. Okay, that's huge. That's really powerful and extremely fast. Mm. So imagine if you go to a customer that has nothing and they want to get started quickly. They want to get that return on investment in a very short time frame. Well, you can bring this in with that 70% out of the box and you can make a huge dent in that return on investment very, very quickly. Mm. The other thing that's important in all that is, and why I say 70%, is those screens that we provide and the capability that we provide is very, very extensible. Even think about this. If you try to implement, say, an operator screen and say there is a complete button on the screen, we have a non-conformance solution, but perhaps you have your own. Perhaps you have a QMS solution or whatever that you want to use. In a normal MES out there, if you build it from scratch, you can build all that in, right? If you have another vendor that has some screens, that operator screens, great, but they may not have the ability to talk to that other non-conformance system. So think about this. If an operator clicks the complete button and says, I'm done with this operation, you don't want them actually to be done with that operation if it's a non-conforming part that was just created, mm-hmm. right? Well, in our system, you can actually put logic in front of that button. So when they click it, we go execute a REST endpoint, and we check you can do whatever you want in it. In this case, you'd go check the other system. Oh, this is non-conforming. Come back and tell the operator, you can't continue, you can't complete this, and give them a message on what to do next. That's really powerful. You can also do it after the fact. So let's say you hit the complete, and you want to, say, maybe upload materials that were consumed to the ERP. You can do that too. There's other ways to do that, but that's just one example. So those are really things that I think are a couple things I want them to take away. Most of it's there ready to go, and you can extend it quite easily.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really, I should have mentioned this earlier, is sustainability. And the fact that this has become a very important and real topic for us as this modern age, right? And customers need to get that under control. The thing about it is we've been doing that for 20 years, right? So again, coming from the paper industry, back in the acid rain days, there was a big, big push for a big bunch of regulations came out to say we have to stop putting garbage into the environment. And so customers, paper companies that we worked with, used our software to reduce their output from their stacks, and just took advantage of the fact that they had all this data available already with their MES. Another example is we have a customer that just recently, in the last couple of years, they had a couple of pieces of equipment that were identical, or I like to say exactly the same. The material that they make on there is the same, the product in both machines. Well, one machine was using twice the amount of electricity to run the same product. And they're like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. They used the data in the Prophecy Smart Factory to figure out why a particular machine was taking up twice the energy versus the other machine. So the sustainability is a big thing, and we can definitely help with that. We also have a new sustainability tool that we just came out with that will let you plug in to the various outputs from your meters and so forth, and has analytics built in on top of it to help you start taking advantage of that data almost immediately. So that's another thing to look for from Prophecy.
What would you say is the best customer story from the customer perspective? What do you think is the best customer story of 2023, of last year?
Right. So we had a CPG customer that came to us, and they were going through their digital transformation, and they needed that true partnership that we brought forward. They had a lot of experience with previous MESs that they have said to me, actually, they were too light. They didn't do enough. And they had a lot of problems with user adoption, which is a problem, right? And we know that. They did have pretty good connectivity to their equipment, which is something we do really well too. So it worked out really synergistically there. But they didn't have a lot of view of the operators. They couldn't really see what they were doing. And the operators didn't have enough data to make decisions on their own, which is really important because you want them to take ownership, right? You want them to jump to the task that they need to jump to based on their knowledge and skill set. Well, the system, the Prophecy system, gave them the ability to do that. Now, operators can make decisions, but they have oversight of what the operator's doing, right? So they know when the operator started a task, they know when the operator finished that task. And it's not to be big brother, it's to help the folks that maybe need a little help, don't know how to do a particular task or activity. They can see how long it took Bob to do it versus how long it took Sue to do it. And maybe you get Sue to help Bob learn a little bit and put him through some training. So really, that was a big thing that came out of it. And now the other thing they can do now is, instead of with the data that they've gleaned from Prophecy, they're able to step back and stop fighting the same fire over and over again, right? And take a look at the data at a granular level and start to really do root cause analysis and really focus in on the main problems, extinguish those fires permanently, and move on to the next big problem and start to focus on Lean and Six Sigma, taking advantage of the data that they had in there, improving their operations.
And then what's the thing you're most proud of seeing built in the last year, would you say?
Right. So I'd like to go back to our discrete tool, and I'm going to extend a little bit, not necessarily last year, because we've been working on it for about 3 years now. Mm. We've done, again, that mixed mode concept has been pretty important. And we've really built out this capability to be extremely powerful, especially in aerospace and defense, of course, which is great because that's kind of in the Venn diagram, that takes up a big circle, and then there's a lot of overlap with other discrete industries that you don't have to use some of the more regulation-centered and compliance-centered components that are in the software, but you still get to take advantage of all the good stuff, the goodness that is available for discrete. The other thing that is interesting is some customers have environments where they want to automate. They want to get to automation, right? You can start with our software in this discrete mode and do things in a manual fashion. But then when you're ready, as you get better and better, you can automate those operations, the routes and so forth, and help the operators do their jobs more efficiently through the automation of the equipment and so forth.